for centuries. Spirit, come. We place ourselves before you, God, and ask that you would be active. You are active. That you would be present. You are present. That you would be leading. You are our leader. God, there's a lot that goes on for us as we come into worship. A lot that we come from in our week, and a lot that we hold on to for the days ahead. And yet in this moment, I pray that you could quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, quiet the chaos. And allow us to hear your voice. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight for your glory, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we have a question before us. It's one that we face as a community, but it's one that we face as individuals all the time. And it's no accident that this question arises out of our series on this particular week. What does it look like to let the Holy Spirit lead? What does that actually look like? I had an experience recently out of the waters by Brentwood Bay. My husband and I headed out there for the end of our season stand-up paddleboard, the very last paddleboard session we have out on the waters. And so we headed out towards Brentwood Bay. That's where I keep my paddleboard. And when we got up there, you know, it was not a perfect day. I don't know if you remember Thanksgiving weekend. But there was some really nice weather, and then there was the day we went. which, you know, was not horrible. It's just that, you know, it was October, it wasn't raining, so I guess that made it good, but it was fantastic. And when we got out there, and we actually got our boards in the water, it looked like, you know, there's quite a bit of activity out here. There's a lot of wind. But it still didn't look too bad for shore, and it wasn't really until we were out of the water that so I was like, wow, there's, like, really quite a bit of wind here. And so we made a decision together. We made it based on all good conventional wisdom. We made a decision to paddle first against the wind, away from the really nice protected inlet. We headed northward to a place that we have gone before. There's a nice little waterfall in one of the coves just beyond Brentwood Bay there. And so we had decided together that, that would be our collective destination. And you know, I'm painfully aware that my husband is up in the sound booth listening to this and has probably a different angle to share about this story than I have. Because so you'll have to track him down and find out from him. But this is my story. This is how I remember it. So we were heading out to this waterfall, but as soon as we got beyond the mouth of the bay, I instantly felt uncomfortable about our decision. And the waves on top of the water were much, much higher than I feel comfortable in. And to be clear, my board is designed for flat water paddling, as is its rider, flat water paddling. And so I was really uncomfortable with how much activity was going on. And there was also just a lot of activity in the water. This is what happens on the ocean that's different than on lakes. Not just about the winds, like there's something happening in the water too. And so this combination of the motion under me and the, in the ocean, and then this like real force of wind coming at me. I mean, it gets big when I tell it. Darren's like, there was a breeze. it was a wind. It was a full wind. This combination was leading me to feel quite uneasy on top of a board where I actually typically feel quite confident upon. And so I ended up dropping to my knees on the board. This is what you do when you're in stand-up paddleboard and you get uneasy, you get down on your knees. And at that point, I let Darren know that I was, you know, pretty uncomfortable. And we decided together, again, that it would probably get better. That it would probably get better just around the corner. And that at least it would get better when we were coming home, and so that seemed like a logical decision. And in retrospect, I may have underplayed my level of discomfort somewhat. And so after what was a very long, unpleasant, disorienting paddle for me, we did finally make it to the falls. Me on my knees the whole way. Now, if you know anything about paddleboarding, that's not the most comfortable position to assume on a stand-up paddleboard. But even in this cove where we were anticipating to get some respite from the wind, we still found that the wind was really coming. And, you know, one of us almost went over. It wasn't me. But I'm not going to name names or anything. But anyways, the wind was really still pushing hard and pushing us and carrying us fast in upon the rocks. And so we had to continue our strong paddling. And I tried to get back upright. I tried to get back up on my feet. But as soon as we were back out into the open sea, I was being tossed around way too much for my comfort level. And so down again, I went on my knees. And in order for us to get well positioned, for the wind to actually work in our favor, to carry us home, we still had to move way further out, now out into the open sea, across the waters. And we were really fighting the winds. Okay, at least one of us was really fighting the winds. And to be completely honest, if there had been a magic wand or an escape button or some kind of option out at that point, I totally would have taken it. And that's maybe something that I've learned about the sport out on the ocean, is that there is no out, you just have to press on. And so I definitely pressed on as best I could. Darren was just having fun. finally we got out far enough where we could let the wind be at our backs and let it carry us home. And I was finally able to get to standing position once again and let the waters and the wind together take us back safely to the harbor. It was when we were surrendered in this homeward trajectory, letting the wind drive, that I felt the most calm I did all day. It's interesting to note, the images throughout Scripture for the Holy Spirit are plentiful. Water, oil, fire, a dove, a cloud, comforter, an advocate, and wind. It makes sense to me that we would need so many images to make sense for ourselves, to invite ourselves to experience and to know and to welcome this unseeable, uncontrollable, and somewhat unfamiliar presence, such as the indwelling of God. And since my time out on the ocean in Brentwood, I've been thinking a lot about why Scripture invites us to consider the Holy Spirit using the image of wind. And I've also really been paying attention to the way I paddle through my days. My strength, my decisions, my abilities, my wisdom, paddling through my journey. And I'm wondering if I might be the only one, or maybe you with me, need to return. I do it daily. Need to return and surrender ourselves to the trajectory of God and to give into the winds leading, the Spirit's leading their lives. And so then I end up wondering, what does it really look like to let the Holy Spirit direct our journeys? Our scripture passage today could feel a little strange and out of context. And I'm not even going to tell you how the story ends. I'd like you to head back there and read it yourselves. That chapter in Acts is full of excitement. But Acts 27 gives us this account of Paul, who at this point is a prisoner under the authority of a Roman guard and is being taken from Caesarea to Rome, voyaging out on the sea. What I find interesting in this passage is that it actually gives us some insight on how we typically make decisions for our own journeys. The scriptures reflect truth and often tell us truth about God, but they also reflect truth and tell us about ourselves and give us some insight there too. And this passage in particular, I think, invites us to consider how it is as humans we often make decisions. Whether it's for an actual journey, like the trip that you're going on, or whether it's through this metaphorical journey we call life. Could Could you use a little insight around decision making? Any of you got decisions that you ever make or need to make? Yeah. For me, decision invites this constant dialogue between myself and God. God, how do I let you direct my path? God, how do I really let your Holy Spirit lead? How do I decide what to do? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." It's an oft-quoted passage. Pastor Rob loves to quote it. It's one of his very favorite. And it is a wonderful verse that invites us to return to God for wisdom. But here's the thing. What does it actually look like to submit to God's leading? Well, the 27th chapter of Acts lets us see a few common practices that humans make decisions around. And I think maybe brings some insight, too, about how we might let the wind lead. We're going to pick up in Acts 27 at verse 9. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn there. Or if you've got devices with you, turn that on as well and pick us up. Acts 27, verse 9. And it says this, "Much time had been lost." We're sort of in the picking up in the middle of this voyage decision. "Much time had been lost, and the voyage was now dangerous, since the day of reconciliation had already passed." Basically, this means we're late in the season for safe sea travel. The weather's now turning. "And Paul warned them, and he said, 'Men, I see that our voyage will suffer damage and great loss, not only for the cargo and ship, but also for our lives.' But the centurion was persuaded more by the ship's pilot and captain than by Paul's advice." So here's the first thing. Typical practice for decision making. You know, they ignore the wisdom that God is delivering to them through Paul's voice here. And setting aside that sort of option to listen to God's stirring in the midst of them, they do what most of us do. And in this case, they make a decision based on the advice of the experienced. The centurion was persuaded, it says, by the ship's pilot and the captain. These are the seamen. These are the ones who had earned their positions, presumably through years of experience on the sea, and successful experience, because here they stand before us. They're still living. They're still facing another day at sea. They're familiar with what to expect, and based on their vast experience, and over their vast years of sailing, this is what the centurion turns to for advice. Now, here's the thing you need to know about advice. It's always based on what has been. Advice is always rooted in past experience. Advice comes from looking backward. The problem is, God is often in the habit of doing a new thing. God does new things. Seeking good advice and wise counsel, it is an honorable and a biblical approach to decision making. I'm not trying to change our practice around this at all. Please hear me clearly. But we do need to be mindful of the limitations of any human advice or experienced counsel. When we let the Holy Spirit lead, we open ourselves up to a powerful wind that is pushing us on to new shores. We still seek advice, for sure, but we listen for God's voice in the midst of it. We still seek good advice. We still listen to the experience of wise leaders, but we also make space to listen for the voice of the one who is himself wisdom. We will consider options, and we'll talk to those who have faced similar decisions in the past, but we'll also remain open to the God who is leading us to a new future. And we're going to take time in that to wonder upon what new thing God is doing. We will trust that God is active. Because it takes trusting in God's activity to really let God lead. It's about trusting God's activity. As we look back to our passage in Acts, it continues at verse 12 and it says, "Since the harbor was unsuitable for spending the winter, the majority supported a plan to put out to sea from there. They thought they might reach Phoenix and Crete and spend the winter in its harbor, which faced southwest and northwest." I was thinking I'd like to winter in Phoenix as well. But here we see another human approach to decision making. It's to let the majority rule. And we as Canadians, we're very fond of this. We typically seek a democratic method in our decision making. We ask around, we take a vote, we decide that we will work and walk and talk together and decide together. We let the option with the most support win the day. Now, of course, there are obvious limitations to this approach. We saw one this week in our federal election. What happens when there is no majority? But even more problematic than that, there's this problem. Popular vote is designed to let the will of the people be done. But the kingdom of God is not subject to the will of the people. The kingdom of God is subject to the will of God. No vote will ever alter that. God is doing his own thing. Romans 12:2 reminds us of the supremacy of the Spirit's leadership in our lives and reveals to us the limitations of a democratic or a popular approach. It says, "Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, the popular ways, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good, what is pleasing, what is mature." The image of wind, I believe, helps us understand that a democratic poll will not be determining any outcomes soon. When the wind blows, it blows when it wants, where it wants, how it wants. If you were sitting in a ferry terminal on Friday evening trying to get to the other side and took a vote, I'm pretty sure everyone would have been in favor of getting to the other side, but the wind still blew. Wind is a perfect image for the Holy Spirit because it demands us to consider the limitations of our control. And we talked about that last week, right? No matter how many of us vote with our hands raised high, the wind will simply not yield to our will. Now, this doesn't mean we abandon any effort to move democratically. That's not what I'm saying. We value the voices of the gathered community, and we find wisdom in moving together. God has honored the decisions of faithful communities for millennia. Still, as we listen for the collective agenda, for the plurality of commitment, as we move together, even so, we're going to ask that God direct the outcome anyway. We're going to trust God to do his thing. So no matter what we sign up for, whatever we decide for, whatever we believe to be the preferred outcome, and we're going to make hard choices, we're going to work hard to make those happen, we're really going to work hard, but as we do, we're going to watch for what God is moving us toward. We're going to keep our eyes open to where doors of opportunity are opening up to us. We're going to seek God's redirection. We're going to ask him, put an end to any of our pursuits that don't honor your work among us. It becomes our constant prayer then. Because we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit lead means believing that God is active. In the midst of our decisions, in the midst of our hard work, we believe God is active. And so believing in the activity of God, we let God lead. We let God lead. The journey for Paul and the others continued, so picking up in verse 13, it says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they could carry out their plan. They pulled up anchor and sailed closely along the coast of Crete. Before long, a hurricane-strength wind, known as a northeaster, swept down from Crete, and the ship was caught in the storm and couldn't be turned into the wind." I'm going to read that again. Just the beginning, in case you missed it. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they could carry out their plan. When making decisions, a very typical pattern we fall into is we take in all the data we can find, and then we move forward with our plan. These sailors take in all the information they can. They look out, they're looking across the sea. I'm sure they stick their finger in the air or something, feel that wind, got a wind sock going. They're looking out, I'm basing it on all kinds of information that they can gather. And they think, hey, here's a gentle wind. Let's get going. Let's move on with our plan from here. But let me ask you this. How many times have you ever heard someone say, if I had only known? If I had only known that a little computer company working out of a garage in Seattle was someday going to make something of itself, I'd be rich. If I had only known. If I had only known that that was going to be our last Christmas together, I'd have made an effort to spend so much time, more time with them. If I'd only known. If I'd only known how much more complicated life would become as I aged, I would have been much more patient in my studies at university, much more attentive. I would take into hold way more of those opportunities if I'd only known. The problem with decision making based on data that we gather is that it's inevitably going to have missed information. Or we've got lots and lots of information, but we've been asking the wrong question. We sometimes have lots of input, but we've lacked the foresight to anticipate a coming change. We're always limited by being human. We can only gather data on what we can perceive or what we can imagine. In 1967, there was a fire that broke out in the testing stage of NASA's Apollo 1 mission, and it was a catastrophe that resulted in the deaths of Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Taffy. And it's explained that there were a series of contributing factors that fed into this fire, but in truth, it was a failure of imagination, or what is sometimes known as the black swan effect that caused the disaster. A black swan theory describes an event that comes as a surprise and is often inappropriately rationalized after the fact of 2020 hindsight. It reflects the experience of saying, black swans don't exist. I've never seen one. Only to be totally overwhelmed and surprised by the reality that in the wild, black swans do exist. We just never imagined them. Black swan theory offers a reminder that God is God and we are not. We're not even able to imagine all the things we don't know. But when God leads, we are assured that he sees and he knows what we could never imagine. We may have anticipated the wind being beautiful and calm, but we could never have anticipated it would turn to a hurricane force, but God knows it all. When we let God lead, we do rely upon the information we have before us. We seek and we gather information and data and input from wise and good counsel and good resources, because that is good to do. But most significantly, when we let God lead, we seek God himself. We position ourselves to gather information, sure, but we also position ourselves to be seeking God together as our source of life and transformation. The image of wind, it serves as such a wonderful reminder that circumstances change, and they're beyond our control. Wind rarely remains consistent for very long. We're always on this unpredictable journey. But how comforting it is to know that God knows it all, sees it all, and is active in the midst of it all to reveal his glory. And as we seek to be followers of Jesus, we seek to be in the presence of Jesus through his Spirit. And we welcome God's character, God's nature, God's will, God's ways to be at work within us and around us. Because we believe that God is active. And as we believe that God is active, that is helping us live out surrendering to the leadership of God. And that's exactly what happened in this boat journey. Verse 15 says this. It says, the ship was caught in a storm and couldn't be turned into the wind, so we gave into it and let it carry us along. I actually love the translation here in the King James Version. It reads, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. This is what it looks like to let the Holy Spirit lead, to give in to the wind and to let her drive. Just let her drive. You know, I think back onto that experience out on my paddleboard in Brentwood, and I shared with you that the most calm I felt was when we finally gave in to the trajectory of the wind and the waves, and we let the waves carry us home. Friends, for all the steps and the processes that we may fall upon to help make a good decision, and we should pursue those good practices, but for all that we may turn to for wisdom and for direction, ultimately, we need to turn to God for his leading. It's not so much what we do to let God lead. It's not so much what we won't do to let God lead. It's actually the posture that we assume in letting God lead. We assume a posture of surrender. Surrender to the trajectory of God, the trajectory that leads us all home. We seek advice. That's smart to do. But we surrender and ask God to speak. We move in agreement with one another. But surrendered, we ask God to redirect our steps as necessary. We seek to gather data and information, but surrendered, ultimately, we seek God. Believing the Holy Spirit is active, we assume a surrendered posture. And we let her drive. We let the Holy Spirit lead. We fight the winds, no longer let her drive. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit's ever-present reality on display for God's glory. We get to enjoy this experience. Believing God is active, we let the Spirit lead. That's what it looks like. Let's pray together. And actually, I've got my eyes closed now, and I'm imagining most people have their eyes closed as well. So if, for you, maybe you want to assume an actual physical posture that reflects the surrender we bring before God. Maybe you're wanting to extend out an arm or open up a fist that's been clenched tightly. Whatever posture reflects for you, your surrender, I just invite you to actually embrace that as well. God, we want to be your people, surrendered before you, ready for you to lead. Holy Spirit, will you please teach us anew what it looks like to really pray, your will be done. For some of us, God, we've been holding on pretty tight. We've been making good choices. We've been doing our best to do good things, but we really haven't let you lead. Holy Spirit, fall anew on us. Give us the courage to let go. Give us the wisdom to seek you first. Stir in our hearts and our minds. And let us tune our hearts to hear your voice. Even right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be letting each one of us know where it is you really want us to let you drive. captivity, and we surrender to your trajectory for your glory.